Yeah, so I actually watched Impact Thursday. Oh, some of it. Trying to remember exactly what I watched. Oh yeah, I watched, what was it, a tag match? So I was talking to you when I was watching, matter of fact. Trying to remember the last thing I saw. I think it was a tag match with Sam Shaw and Gunner. Yeah, because Sam Shaw had on dress clothes.
Yes.
Throwing drop kicks.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because I was watching Raw and Dolph Ziggler had his little interview segment. And then he starts to fight. The first thing he does is throw a drop kick. I'm like, only in wrestling if you start a street fight or a regular fight or something, you have a drop kick.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out, like, what real fight do you have that you throw a drop kick to begin with? And then let alone, like, I don't know, I base all of my fighting on like 80s movies. So if it's like if it's black people fighting, it's in the ghettos. Or they get or well, this is more like early 90s, but like what's the big one that came out with Ice Cube? Boys in the Hood. That and then with white people, it's always like One Crazy Summer or Better Off Dead. So it's these just ridiculously pompadour hairstyles, and then just seeing like John Cusack throw a drop kick out of the blue, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Nash said something about that. I don't know if it was an interview or a podcast, or saying something like how he didn't. I think it's why he didn't like cruiserweights. It's kind of like if you in a real fight, would you do a 619 or a moonsault or something like that? Like if you in a bar fight, you wouldn't do that nonsense. So it kind of like takes the believability away when you do it in a ring. And it's kind of like, well, easy for him to say it because he'll never do that. But that's the first person that popped in my mind when Dolph Ziggler did that. Like you just having a regular talk, and then you start a fight with like dress slacks on, and you throw a drop kick. Like that doesn't seem to be the most effective way of fighting.
No, but that's exactly it. Like with my like he should have dropped like a glass of champagne and took his sweater off first. And then have like his blonde girlfriend with the really crazy perm just slowly put the arms back across his shoulder so he could tie it back together. Yeah. Welcome to We Watch Stuff number 10, everybody. We just started it like the audio experience, just deal with it. No, I don't understand. I'm getting to the point where I don't understand wrestling much anymore.
I just take it. I stop trying to understand it. I just take it. It has its own set of rules. It has its own universe. As long as it follows a set of rules, I'm fine with it. But whenever someone asks me, if you look at it from the outside, it's ridiculous. But I already know that because a lot of things from the outside, like comic books and comic movies, a lot of things, if you think about it, looks ridiculous from the outside. But if you just accept, if you follow the rules you set forward, that's fine.
Well, yeah. Well, no. I don't have a problem with that. That I understand. I'm getting to the point now where it's I don't understand where they're going with things, or like it's not always it's the journey that's supposed to be the interesting part, even if you know the destination. I watched Raw last night. I don't get it anymore. Who wants to watch a Jerry Springer segment? I mean, in all honesty.
You'd be surprised because it was cracking me up because I was watching it too and I was hearing people complain like, oh, who's watching this and the crowd's going to die. That crowd was into it because it was like the crowd takes it for what it is. That storyline is Jerry Springer trash. It's like, cheesy and over the top. The crowd knows and they play along with it. And this, I'm sure, stereotypes aside, there's a large population of a wrestling crowd that watches Jerry Springer and looks at it as like, entertainment. So it went hand in hand with the story. I didn't have a problem with that too much. I'm like, if you're gonna go that route, go all the way. And seeing Jerry Springer go out on a stretcher made my night.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, if this was like the early 2000s, late 90s, I'd be with you because Jerry Springer was on at like 4 o'clock or 11 o'clock, so you could like skip class. He appealed more to like college kids. I remember how we kept wanting to go to a taping. And now you can't even find it. I honestly have no clue what time he's on anymore.
It comes on, I want to say, it depends on where you're. I think here it comes on maybe, I think like 9. It comes on early in the morning, matter of fact. Come like 8 or 9. And more, it comes on around like 12 or 1. So.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Maury kind of take Jerry Springer's place?
It's more like Maury's kind of like highbrow Jerry.
That's hilarious. Oh my.
It makes any sense. Like, I just know how ridiculous that sounds and saying it. But yeah, he's a highbrow Jerry Springer. Like, he focuses on, finding baby daddies and, fat to, fat to fit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I actually muted myself on purpose on that one because the idea, and you kind of covered it, but the idea that Maury is a highbrow anything, and then the list, like his topics, I don't honestly, I do know Maury's on at 4 o'clock here in Greenville and in Charlotte. He's given up totally on format, and it's all paternity test.
More or less, like 4 days out of five.
Yeah, well, and what in the 5th day is usually a well, where are they now show from the paternity test.
Or such and such is cheating with my sister, or things like that. So, which is always fun.
I'm sorry, I'm just stuck on that comment. I'm not getting on you. It's just, oh, if that is honestly a case can be built for that. Because supposedly Maury's a reality show. It's like these are real people. Where Jerry Springer, I think, finally admitted, like half of the people are fake on his show.
I would hope so, because
Well, I kind of got lost with it when the Iron Sheik came on and stole somebody's girlfriend. So,
you serious?
yeah, I am. I'm looking it up. Hang on a sec. But yeah, and I think PG-13 was on as well.
I do remember PG-13 and Jerry for whatever reason. I need to check out that Iron Sheik episode because, yeah. So, but no, that's basically where wrestling is right now. It's in kind of a weird place because it's stuck between two different age demographics, and I need to keep reminding myself, like, the network might be geared toward me. But a lot of the TV is geared toward if I had a son, and I need to kind of accept that. It allows me to accept the storylines more and see it for what it is, because otherwise, I probably wouldn't watch as much as I watch.
Are you playing pool?
No, I just took a swig of protein shake real fast. No.
Uh-oh. You can't get your pump on during the show. Did they take it down? How can where does Jerry Springer have the audacity to take down the Iron Sheik video on Jerry Springer? That is
It's amazing. They've been on for as long. They've been on since the late 80s, early 90s.
Somebody will find it. But yeah, he just comes out and he's like, "This is my new man." It's the Sheik, and it was when he could really, really had a hard time walking. I think he still does, but and then as I look for Iron Sheik on Jerry Springer, Razor Ramon pops up. So,
It's my new man, the Sheik. Lord have
is
mercy.
it any wonder that he was a total alcoholic and drug addict, whatever? I mean, it says here, Jerry Springer brings Razor Ramon for an 11-year-old kid who got married to a 10-year-old and gives them some good advice and invites them to WrestleMania.
That. Actually, on that episode, I do remember, matter of fact.
I just sent you the link on Facebook.
Man, oh man, yeah.
Jerry looking young, like he just got out of the mayoral office. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that the Razor Ramon episode, I actually do remember watching live, like when it came on.
See, I've never seen this. I have no idea.
He's a complete character, and it's just it is hilarious. Just even thinking that, like, you know, the 90s, WWF, it was a different time.
Oh my God, this video is awesome. So, the little kid is the, let's see. Okay, I'm guessing the 11-year-old kid that got married to the 10-year-old kid is an interracial couple. Wait, Hydia and Tyler? I'm guessing Hidea is the chick? 10-year-old with AJDS. What the hell is AJDS? It said J, so...
Look, don't ask me. I live in the suburbs now. Wow. So.
Well, cool. Well, too bad you live in the suburbs of in Texas instead of outside of Atlanta. You could have helped the cause.
Oh, please don't get me started. No, I just finished reading that. That is hilarious on so many levels.
And, you know, and it, for the criteria of our show, it counts because it's on TV. That gets funnier and funnier.
It's funny because we talk about this all the time. Like, you just, because you always say, like, you can't wrap your head around it because who actually talks like this? Like, you know, like this Nick Nolte. Like I said, sometimes, like, people are mad that they can't be like Nick Nolte in 48 hours.
It's the good old days. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, when I first heard it, it just sounded like, you know, it was nonsense. Then I was like, he put off the, you know, a double whammy of being racist toward black people and white people at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to do that on purpose. And then good old Daddy Fair, like, dude, grad. And I'm, you know, it's like, it's best because it wasn't, you know, anything about once, like, you know, you hear a little bit Sunday, and then you hear a little bit more Sunday night, and you hear some more Monday. It's like they just drop bits and pieces. Like, the more you hear, the more it's like, these people are insane. Like, what are you thinking? And then somebody tried to think, well, maybe it wasn't his words. Maybe he just read it. I'm like, he didn't think at one time, like, maybe I shouldn't read this out loud without a disclaimer.
You know, it's funny because I was one of the people thinking, all right, and basically what we're talking about is, if you follow sports at all, what's his name? Bruce Levinson, the owner of the Hawks, sent out some email. You can find it online. Basically said that the Atlanta Hawks crowds are 70% black or African American. I don't know how he actually. No, he said black, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or blacks.
He used both words. Yeah.
Well, then he needed more people. He needed more white people because they have more money, basically. I'm paraphrasing a lot, but this is the gist of it. But that whites, Southern whites, won't go to a basketball game because they're scared of black people. And there was too many. So what was it? There were too many people on black people on Kiss Cam.
Yes, too many cheerleaders. They played gospel. They had gospel concerts after the game. They played too much rap music. And when they gave away tickets, they gave away too many to the, you know, ghetto. So it was too many poor black teenagers going to the games. So yeah.
All right.
Oh, he just hit every, checkbox in the book.
Well, no, he did not. He whiffed a big one by saying that he didn't see people wearing enough jerseys at the games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so does that actually help his point? Because, as you said, too, black people don't wear basketball jerseys?
Oh, no, I was saying that sarcastically. I'm like, no,
I know.
this what got me with the whole, okay. It's basically what he's saying is, black money is scaring off white money, so we need more white people to come to take these seats that black people are taking, so they'll spend more money. But they're afraid of these black people and the black using black culture, so we need to get some more, you know, white cheerleaders and white music and something. But he's basically like, you know, it's a shame it's that way because I hate dealing with these Southern white racists, but I need their money, so this is what we're going to do.
I think another part, though, that gets missed is they're 28th in attendance.
Yes.
So they're basically, he was saying 70% of their attendance I don't know how many seats the Phillips Arena holds.
18.
Okay, so, oh God.
They seat around, they average around 14. And he was saying something about house. He said when it started, it was 70%, and now it's down to 40 since he started his, you know, implementations, and it's, he's still trying to get a little lower and whatever.
So,
like his plan was working.
So how, all right, how does this work then? Because if the attendance is still the same, but the mixture of the crowd has changed, you're still getting the exact same amount of money.
Oh, no, no, you understand. See, okay. His thing was black people only go in there and they buy one soda with two straws and split it and not buy a jersey. So he needed to get these white people here that buy like six sodas and eight hot dogs per person and five jerseys or something like that, I guess. Because, you know, black people don't, we don't believe in disposable income, which is hilarious on too many levels.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's, he picked the wrong damn, like Atlanta has funny demographics. He picked the wrong damn city to say that. And it's kind of like, if I was a white person living in Atlanta, I'd be kind of pissed off saying, like, I'm so racist, even though I'm used to being around black people because it's Atlanta, Georgia. I'm afraid to go to the game. No, people don't go to the Hawks games because the Hawks, they're not excited.
Well, now I've noticed they're starting to bring up the fact that the Hawks have made the playoffs the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Well, big deal. If you're the number 8 seed or 7 seed all the time, except for, what, 2 years, something like that, you're going to get eliminated immediately. So with the way the playoff format works, it's a 5-game first round. No, it's 7 now.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be 5. So you only got 1 playoff game. So that's why no one went. You never had an opportunity. The next thing you know, you get bounced out of the playoffs. Well, who the hell wants to go see that?
They're the king of the 47 wins. That's like they call it a haul. Like they're the king of the 5 seed. They're good enough that, you know, like you always say on NBA TV during the playoffs, they're always in the playoffs, but they never have like a – they barely have home court advantage. They might have had like maybe once. And it's kind of like, you know, good enough to be noticed, but no one really goes to the game because it's not exciting. And you might get excited in playoffs with a game 6 and some rappers that go. But, yeah, that whole thing is just – like that whole memo was asked backwards. And if that was just – that would be fine.
Yeah.
But then the stuff with Danny Ferry came out, and I'm like –
okay, the Danny Ferry thing – still makes absolutely no sense to me. I know our friend Cam jokingly said, just read the link. I still don't understand what it means to be acting too African, or he's got some African in him.
He basically, I don't know, if this is just a scouting report he's reading, who writes a scouting report like that? Like, who wrote that? Adolph Rupp?
If you're the GM and you see that, and that's what Danny Ferry is, you can read that at the meeting if you want to just blast this guy. So now they said that they have a recording of this, so his inflection's going to be a little bit telling. Like, because there's a difference between going, okay, so Luol Deng, the player they're talking about, he's got a little too much African in him. He's the – God, the link's taking forever to load up for some reason. Maybe they're trying to take it down. But sorry, guys. Okay, it says he's got a little he has a little African in him. Not in a bad way, but he's like a guy who would have a nice store out front and sell you counterfeit stuff out the back.
But not in a bad way.
Yes. And then also, Ferry completed the racial slur. That's not really a slur.
I think they left something out.
Oh, okay, okay. Ferry completed the racial slur by describing the player, Luol Deng, and implied all persons of African descent as two-faced liar and a cheat.
Now, keep in mind, this is a fellow Duke alum who's won, like, NBA humanitarian. I know he's won at least once and not twice. Like, this is, like, one of the good guys of the NBA. And they just treat him like, you know, he's like a taxi cab driver that sells fake watches.
Now you're talking about Luol Deng, right?
Yes, okay. Luol Deng. Okay. I'm like, that's how the whole thing started. Like, you know, somebody said, well, why didn't somebody say anything? I guess one of the owners heard that and made a complaint. They wanted to fire him then. And it's kind of like, they, you know, started investigating. It's like, if he said this, how much of this is going on? Because the Atlanta Hawks have had a dysfunctional ownership group since Jump Street. And that's
They've been trying to get rid of the team too. So yeah. They tried selling him when they sold the Thrashers.
Like one of the owners sold his share over like the Joe Johnson deal or the Joe Johnson trade. I remember that like years ago. And they've had issues with that since Jump Street. So I guess that started the ball. And people just, you know, looking for what's going on. And then found Levinson's email. And I heard people saying, oh, you know, maybe he with this. I'm like, okay, if he said it in a way where somebody there wanted to fire him and start an investigation to see what else was going on, I don't think he said it in a joking way or kind of dismissive way, like, I don't believe it.
Oh, now we're talking about Ferry still, right?
Yeah.
The only way he gets around this is if he's like, where's the quote again? If he's talking to me, he sits down. He's like, "All right, so Luol Deng. Apparently, he has a little African in him. Not in a bad way, you know. So read it like that. But if you read it the way I read it the first time, or he says it, and then you know, and he's a two-faced liar and a cheat, and he goes." Okay, any questions? Like, if it's not immediately followed with, all right, the guy who sent this to me is this guy, and he's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
Or, this guy's an idiot. I've been trying to tell you for a long time this guy's an idiot. But you would think those would be in emails, too. Like, a back-and-forth response. Like, are you on crack or something? Like, I think Ferry stuff is actually worse, unless we have something else to go along with it, is worse than the other guy's stuff.
Well, Ferry is just, they both worse in different ways. Ferry is just kind of like, you know, a real blanket stereotype towards Africans. And if I was dang or African, I'd be pissed. Levinson's is more like, his is more almost, you know, I know these white people are – I think these white people are racist, and I know it's stupid.
Yeah, okay.
I need to get their white money because it's more important than black money I'm getting. So it's kind of almost even insulting to both. Like, you know, black money not good enough, and even though I know it's stupid that these white people are thinking the way they're thinking, according to me, I'd rather have their money and their fans. Like, the whole – I can see the whole business thing. But too many black people on Kiss Cam.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree. No, you get rid of Kiss Cam, period, because that shit is stupid. I hate all of that stuff. So he's exactly right. Just too many black people, too many people, period, on that damn thing.
Yeah, if you're going to get rid of it, get rid of it. But the whole, we start saying, you know, there's too many black cheerleaders and there's too many black. Okay, so.
Now,
are you going to rectify that saying you want to hire more cheerleaders, period, and get more white ones? You're going to get rid of the black ones that have white ones? I'm like, once you start picking out colors saying it's too much of this and not enough of that, then you can't say it's business. And when you use color on it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I went off on a different thought and had to come back to yours. Because I was going to say the gospel thing, he has a point about. If you're going to have a gospel church or, basically a gospel revival choir, whatever, after a game, white people don't go to those.
Part of that would say, you know, if you saw a Tyler Perry movie, you might think differently, but then since that's something you would never do.
You're only helping my point.
Yeah.
So.
But it's funny because Atlanta has a funny racial dynamic. Like, it's... They're used to being around each other. Like, they listen, you know, they say, like, what's a 40-year-old white man going to listen to? It's not necessarily going to be Keith Urban if he lives in Atlanta. More than likely, he might be listening to the same thing, you know, I'm listening to. And then this assumption, like, you know, every black person listening to Lil Jon in Atlanta, they might think that's garbage, too. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot of blanket-ass statements.
Yeah, you've maybe come around on my statement about Ferry. You're right, because this idiot did... Like, I'm not a Southern white, which, okay, we all know the stereotype of Southern whites. And that's what, and it's what everybody immediately falls to, which my story from last night, which I hope we can get to, actually has some of that too. But he's immediately playing on all of these different stereotypes. And in exactly what you said, I'm not Southern white, but then you're also just lumping me in as being, well, we need more white people kissing. Okay, we need more white cheerleaders. No, get rid of them too. It's stupid. There, cut some costs there. Get rid of that useless garbage. I mean, what's don't they have, what are they, the people that shoot the crowd, the gun, the t-shirt gun? He's angry because, and I couldn't tell if he was trying to say that the black audience was more hyped up for the t-shirts than they are the games or not. Which is ridiculous. Well, I mean, I guess he kind of is, but in a roundabout way. Because anywhere you go, you're sitting there, people act like animals when they see the guy with the t-shirt cannon walk by. It's some shitty $5 t-shirt, and they will rape each other for these things. This guy really, that's what we were talking about. He's basically telling me, all right, I'm not supposed to go to a basketball game because black people go. The entire thing about being terrified or...
She might get stabbed.
Yeah, but then I've walked home, not walked home, but I've walked from Comerica Park, from Tiger Stadium, from the Fox, from Joe Louis Arena in downtown Detroit at night with like a group of two other people. I felt a little sketchy there. Why? Because it's Detroit.
Yeah.
I've walked back from the the Georgia Dome. I've walked back from Phillips Arena. I walked back from downtown Atlanta to our hotel. Hell, we walked all the way to Gladys Knight's restaurant. And it didn't feel anything. Like, it was like, all right. So.
Because it's Atlanta. It's not, in the ghetto of Mississippi or something nice like that. His whole thing is just ass backwards on so many levels. Like, he just hit everybody with this Southern stereotype, like, I'm afraid they can't drink in the same water fountain nonsense. So you keep your black money at home, and we need to get more of this white money. Because, black, they're not cheering loud enough. And I think he made a comment saying, it's not necessarily just the numbers we see. Like DC, the Wizards, they have plenty of black fans, but they seem to be more affluent and spend more money. And I'm like, Atlanta has one of the largest populations of, black people with degrees that spend money in the damn country. I'm like, if you're going to spew this nonsense, I couldn't think of a worse city than doing it in Atlanta, maybe, except for maybe D.C., and probably not even that. I'm like, he picked the wrong area.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you. And I also, all right, from that, I'll say, does this make him a bad businessman then, if he doesn't understand this sort of thing? And let me back up real quick. I'm not saying when I walk through Atlanta that I'm like, oh, this is a paradise. I'm just walking through. I still got my guard up because it's at night.
Mm-hmm. At night. So,
I just want to make sure that it wasn't. I'm like one of these guys like, oh, everyone gets along. Nothing bad will ever happen to me because no, bad shit's gonna happen sooner or later.
That's Dusty.
Yeah. Oh, and Dusty will. As soon as you said Danny Ferry is from Duke, his immediate reaction will be, Coach K's a racist. So if the two of us can hook up with an audio experience this weekend, that will be definitely be on topic, I'm sure.
I lived in Durham, and I don't know if he is or not, but people love throwing that like Duke is – fake liberal school has really a bunch of elitist races and stuff like this kind of fit into that. It'll fit into that dynamic. Even if it's not true or not, people like to believe it, and this story kind of reinforced that.
Yeah. I just think that this guy, it's a great way to alienate, and I still think part of this, and it's diminished a little, that the guy's a bad businessman, and that really, I think part of this, because he self-reported it. If it would have come out and he got caught, if you want to put it in those terms, instead, if he reports it, and I still say it's got something to do with the Bucks making $500 million, and then the Clippers. If you really think about it, the Clippers were worth $2 billion.
I think it's more because they were in LA, and they're in LA. I think it's closer to more like the I'm surprised the Bucks went for $550 million. No, they're the Bucks.
Yeah, they're Milwaukee. No one lives there.
So, and that owner probably spent maybe 1% of that to buy the team whenever he owned it back in because he had that tape for 30 years. So I think it just reminds, like, when everyone, quick thing before we get on topics, when people get on Vince McMahon saying, you know, how in the world did he become a multimillionaire or billionaire if he does all this stupid stuff? I'm like, it's plenty of rich people that do stupid things in business. And between what I saw here and what's going on with the NFL, I'm like, I'm not surprised by what anyone does. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're smart all the time, and doesn't mean you're incapable of doing something real fucking dumb.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, you really got to be smart in one aspect to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you surround yourself with people who are smart in different areas to help you build that wealth up. So just because he's got a lot of money does not immediately make you a decent businessman. It makes you shrewd, maybe. Definitely cutthroat. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just like a newer thing, but it definitely seems like that's how you get to the top. Like, your ethics, morals just get in the way. So, but I don't understand why you just go, all right, these people aren't going to spend money. Well, do you have anything to actually back it up?
Nope. It just sounds like that's something that, you know what? You can say something like that, and there's enough people that kind of believe that reinforce that. And it amazes me how people come out saying, oh, it wasn't really racist. It's just how businessmen act. I'm like, one, the business numbers don't match up with that. Like, the math behind it doesn't match up. All those percentages he thought were wrong. Nothing he said from a business standpoint made sense. And for it to make sense, he would basically have to, even if they fill every unsold seat with white people, it still won't fit the numbers he wanted. They basically have to, you know, fill all the seats that's not sold white people, and then get rid of 4,000 black people and replace those with white people.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're not filling the stands either.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you concentrated on just filling the stands, like getting your product on the floor, I don't know. I don't own a business. I mean, outside of Stunt Granny, which we don't give a shit who clicks on it. I mean, it doesn't matter. Click away. If ISIS wants to click on this 1,000 times a day, feel free. I'll throw another journalist their way for another extra 1,000 clicks a day. That's fine. But so I don't understand if you're in business, like, why you would. I'm sure someone will say, well, he probably knows more than you. Yeah, maybe he does, but I don't know why you'd throw away a segment of your audience.
I'll say this in this case. If you're an owner in the NBA, where it's, you know, like it or not, it's a stereotype, you know, it's predominantly known as a black league, where your employees are mostly black, and you own a team, you own the Atlanta Hawks, that probably has the biggest percentage of black fans in the NBA. Saying something like that is just going to piss off. It's not good for business.
No.
At all. Like, there's no way you can justify. Like, if it's any, like I always tell somebody, if you got to put a disclaimer in, or if you got to say, I don't mean it this way, but it's probably something that you shouldn't say, because it's probably going to either piss somebody off, or you're going to sound real dumb.
Yeah.
And whenever I've heard somebody defend him, they call you that disclaimer, well, you know, I wouldn't do that, but it's just the nature of business. I'm like, when you add color, when you say we need less black, more white, yeah, then it's a race thing. If you bring race into it, it's a race thing, plain and simple.
Yeah. What if he does have some sort of metrics that back up his argument? Does that still make it? I mean, I'm not saying he does, and I'm not saying it's even right, but what if he does have actual business metrics?
I'm sure there's plenty of companies that have done that, and there's a way of doing it, you know, and kind of – people have made better defenses than he has, saying, well, you know, you could use – it's just a metrics thing, and other companies do all the time. Yeah, and my counterpoint would be, one, the metrics don't apply in this case, and two, he wasn't – you know, if that's what he's trying to do, he did a piss-poor job of doing it, because the numbers don't match up his metrics.
Yeah.
His numbers are off. Even if you don't bring the whole – and if it was just a case of that, that's fine. You start bringing, like, you know, I'm seeing too many black people in the stands – and too many black people kissing, and I need more white cheerleaders. Yeah. How do you think people are going to take it? It's not, you don't need to be this whole PC thing, though. Saying I see too many black people in my games, is saying someone has a problem with that, PC has nothing to do with it. You saying I don't, I don't want you at my. It's too many of you at my game. You're scaring off these white people and their white money.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. I have forgotten he did say that white people are scared to go because of black people. There's no business metric for that, I guess. Or maybe there is. They come up with something for everything, it seems. So for every three darkies, one whitey gets scared away. Like, whoa! All right. Time to check out of this meeting immediately. That's enough of that talk. Just scratch me off of your appointment pad or any of that stuff. I don't want to be known having been here. Ugh. The kiss cam, as much as I don't like it, what's wrong with just... I actually thought about... This has nothing to do with anything except one of my idiotic thoughts. You know, like, everyone... Now there's an actual term for, like, people kissing in public. Like, PDA, public display of affection. Like, ugh. Get a room. Well, alright, some people are pretty ugly, so I can understand that. But, okay, so they're in love. I mean, it's like a hippie notion, I suppose, but who cares? We actually have two people not arguing, not hitting each other, not yelling at each other, or ignoring each other, or on their phones, or doing whatever else, and then all of a sudden it's a problem? Like, just...
Yeah, if you said the whole, you know, I want to get rid of kiss cam because it's alienating people. That's fine. But when you say it's too many, every time we have kiss cam, we see black people kissing. Like, we can't kiss. I mean, it's the 50s, you know.
No.
We couldn't drink from the water fountain. We can have a damn. I can do a pick and roll, but you want to see my cousins kissing? Like, yeah, that's like stuff like that. Like, when you certain things,
Yeah, no, see, and that's the funny thing, because Shahid's white and I'm black, so and that's where we come from on these things. But I still, even after talking about all this, like you clearly have a very direct. I don't think you're angry about it, but it's just kind of like, of course, or like I'm not going to speak for you, but for my side, I read all this stuff, like even our discussion, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, who gives a shit? How can we not be past this stuff already? It makes no sense. No logical sense.
I'm at the point, like, I'm just exasperated. Like, almost like, why is this still happening? Like, you know, we got new iPhones out. You know, you can go into space. Like, all this technology we have, is people still talking like it's the 40s. And I'm kind of like... If you have a television and you got some common sense, you've been around people that looks differently than you, something should tell you that, you know, being racist is just dumb. I can see, like, if you're old, if you're a 90-year-old man and you don't know any better, that's fine. But, like, after a certain time, it need to be like a grandfather clause. Like, once you, if you're a certain age, you have no excuses.
If you're born by 1980, I'd say. Now, I'm 74, but... I got to figure 1980 up. You should probably know by now.
You'd be surprised. I used to think that, and then I went on Facebook, and I was Facebook friends with certain people, and they were younger than me, and they were talking like they came up in the damn 30s. And I'm just like, they make people like you? I'm like, they
No, you don't say it. They make people like you still. That's exactly it.
That's exactly what I said. Like, they still make you guys. It's like seeing a Betamax. It's like, seriously? And that's like a big city. It's not like, you know, if it's like Three Toe Iowa or something like that. It's like, you know, oh, I grew up in Maryland or like New York. I'm like, huh? Like, how are they napping? Like, I just had that face. Like, you see something like, you know, if I saw a Ford Model 10 driving down the street, I'd be less surprised than some of the things I hear from young people these days.
Yeah. All right. You said one thing that cracked me up because you said, what was it, three-toed Iowa? That kind of makes me laugh. Because I think most people recognize racism, bigotry, whatever else from being an exclusively Southern thing. And then if you delve into the history of it, they sure got the brunt of it. But Indiana almost had I lost my. I don't think he was like the Grand Wizard, but he was a definite influential member of the Ku Klux Klan. Nearly got voted to Senate or Governor of Indiana, and not that it was taken, you know, not that he was taking a backseat or trying to cover it up. That was a platform they ran on. So as soon as you say Mississippi, Alabama, aren't those like the two big offenders?
Mississippi, Alabama.
Yeah, historically, or stereotypically, if you want, with my point.
Texas, so.
But yeah, but then like the city I'm from, Dearborn, Michigan, apparently the mayor, who my grandfather was friends with, which I came to find out, which was pretty cool, he was an open and out racist. And he's considered one of Dearborn's best mayors.
It amazes me. Explain, like, it's the South is a bad rap for it, and people assume it doesn't happen in the West. I'm like, you see plenty in the Midwest. It's almost like casual, kind of like, you know, they're polite almost. If that makes these, I don't know if you can be a polite racist, but you see plenty of that from people from the Midwest. It's almost like they've never been around anybody that doesn't look like them. And then you see plenty on the East Coast. So, like,
yeah, I don't know, man. I have a hard time getting my head around it, and
I do too. And I should know better. And it still amazes me at this point, even though I've been around it. It's kind of like,
yeah,
I just look at you, somebody like, why? Like, don't you know how stupid you look?
But no, you know, they don't, because they're surrounded by a bunch of people who say the same things.
Exactly.
And it builds them up. And that is not that's not exclusive to one color, country, that's whatever else.
Anybody. If you're because people wonder why do people act the way they do. I'm like, if everyone around you act that way, you're going to assume it's normal. And if no one's telling you it's not normal, then why would you change?
Or if somebody does tell you, look, you really, that's kind of an ignorant way of thinking, or... But you can't say ignorant, because that immediately loses somebody. That's kind of a bad way of thinking, which makes it sound like, even saying bad makes it almost acceptable. But
yeah, people don't like, they take ignorant to
Yeah. I mean, ignorance is an ugly sounding word, which I guess it kind of should. So, but no, if somebody tries to tell you, like, that's a bad way of thinking, and they immediately get defensive. And I argue with this with, not argue, but Kevin and I talk about this. And this goes with everything now. No one talks about anything. It's an immediate defense, and you just want to drive your point home, and then nothing gets accomplished. And then we get shit like this. I'm sorry to swear, but it's
like, it's like people want to, you know, get the high score on their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, like, I have to be right. And even, you know, even if it's something mundane, like, it's an opinion, so what's the point? But it's kind of like, you know, if you challenge me, I'm going to double down, and I just got to make sure I'm right, get the last word, and I'll use Wikipedia, whatever website, whatever, you know, any straw man tactic, anything else I learned in liberal arts to get my point across. And it just end up being, you know, a catch lock fight. Which is dumb. Like, I've cut down on, I still catch myself doing it sometimes. Internet fights are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's like midget races. Even if you win, you aren't fast. That's how
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's how it comes across. You know, sometimes, you know, even in competition, everyone loses. So what's the point of even entering?
Have I told you what my new favorite thing to do is online?
What's that?
Right, I kind of given up on Facebook. So I'll go to like the news stories, and whenever there's something either racial, something with the cops, medical, any of this stuff, especially the president, I immediately go to the comment section.
Oh yeah, I
don't say anything. I just scroll through and go, I'm going to be dead by 85 at least. I don't have to deal with these people. Because, oof.
I do that sometimes with sports. And I just, it's like everyone there. Like, I know the sports demographic is a very diverse demographic. But you would not tell that if you read like certain comment sections on sports websites. Like everyone watched Fox News. Like everybody just this big old meat eating tough guy that grew up idolizing Dirty Harry and this. Like I was reading this stuff about Danny Pierce. Like I don't understand what the problem. If he said he had a little European in it, well, white people get mad. Like what? Like, and I'm like, one, that's not what he said. Two, what does that have to, like, is there this thing going on where, you know, white players are being held back? I know, and I'm sure that's like, you know, oh, if he's white, that means he can't jump in that whole stereotype. Like, you know, the white guy's the student of the game, the black person came out the womb running a 4.240. But every story doesn't have, for whatever, just because Danny Ferry's a bigot, that doesn't mean I think you are. So you don't have to defend yourself saying, oh, you know, or if he said it this way, we wouldn't take it that far. Like, he didn't say that. And there's no GM saying that, like, I'm not drafting. Yeah, I'm not going to get Kyle Korver because he got a little too much European in him. You know, sometimes he may flop too much, even though he's from Iowa. So we're not going to sign him. Like, he just seen that kind of, you know, he doesn't look you in the eye, shifty type. I don't think that's happening in the NBA, and nobody's talking about that. So why are you bringing that in this kind of, like, counter-argument? Like, shut up.
You know what? I had something else to say. That's perfect. So never mind. I was scrolling through for an example of what I was talking about. It just, never mind. Let's talk about something fun. It's been 48 minutes or so. Sorry, guys. I meant to do it as a joke, but at the same time, it's an interesting discussion. I mean,
it's one of those special guest episodes that we watch stuff, like when you get stuck in a refrigerator.
What was that, Punky Rooster? Yeah. God, that, you know, how bad is that? How bad is that? I immediately knew, and I tried to play it off. Like
I was thinking either that or we went to Different Strokes where, you know, Arnold and the child lost the episode.
Oh, yeah, him and Dudley.
Dudley
didn't get raped in that, did he?
No, they just got liquored up. And he was playing horsey. Lord, the 80s. I swear, how much cocaine they were snorting back then. It was laugh tracks during that episode and everything. And this is...
Yeah. The best part, I put in Different Strokes Dudley because I couldn't remember what Dudley looked like. Mm-hmm. And the very first picture is the child molester from WKRP in Cincinnati. That's what 80s TV shows have basically been relegated to. Mm-hmm. Like Punky Brewster, I immediately knew when you said the refrigerator. And I remember my mom telling me, now, if you ever see a refrigerator on the side of the road, I'm like, where the hell do we live? Why would a refrigerator be on the side of the road? Well, people throw those out. I'm like, why would you throw a refrigerator out? You know, but when you're that young, you don't think this stuff's going to break?
I was told that, too, and I was like, I didn't live in the best neighborhoods, but I never saw a fridge outside. I'm like, how poor you got to be in Philly to see a fridge on the street? Because we were poor, and I don't remember seeing one. But I heard people say, you know, don't play around fridges because, you know, you might get locked in. And I remember that Punky Boost episode, and that stuck with me, so...
Yeah, and what kind of dumb shit? Why would you have a lock on the outside of a refrigerator? I know it's like a latch to keep it closed, but Jesus.
Keep those rat bastard kids from opening it using all the electricity.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I never saw one appliance on the side of the road when I was living in Dearborn.
I saw a stove once. I don't know how they got it out there. It was down, and they got it down some steps too, so.
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to think. I don't remember even taking the trash out. I gotta go to the doctor, man. I mean, I know those are mundane details of your life, but still, you should at least remember one time in your life that you've taken the trash out when you were young.
Yeah, I think this episode has definitely jumped over both sharks.
Damn. Well, I guess we can end it with some comics talk. I don't know. I don't know which one. Which one of the ones we actually plan to talk about?
We need to do the one with Spider-Woman, or we can do DC movies.
God, both of them could go a while. Let's do the Spider-Woman one. I don't... me see if I find. All right, so basically, Spider-Man, Spider-Woman. Where is this damn line? God damn it. Is all our... I gotta start deleting these conversations or saving this shit. Well, anyways, they're coming out with a variant cover of Spider-Man, or Spider-Woman, excuse me, which is actually part of my point coming up. And they used... Maybe we should do the DC one to save this for next time. Okay. All right, so anyway, so Rock is going to play Black Adam in the Shazam movie. So for those who don't know, Black Adam is the bad guy. So it fits Rock perfectly. It would have made no sense for him to play Shazam. I'm sorry, Shazam used to be called Captain Marvel. The word to change into Captain Marvel was Shazam. But Marvel has their own Captain Marvel, which is now a woman. No, she's Miss Marvel now. Whatever. Is it not Wakanda? Because that's Black Adam's. But where the hell is Black Adam from? Some Middle Eastern country.
I thought he's Egyptian. Well, you're the DC guy more than me. I thought they use all the powers of like Egyptian gods. That's what the original Shazam, when he used like each letter stood for something, and then Shazam, each letter was a different god. So that's more your will. But, well,
yeah, that's what I'm going to. But with the new 52, the way they do the new DC stuff, I'm kind of lost on how they do it now. And that's what they're basing all of their stuff from, which is not really a good idea. But, you know. But anyway, so Rock is going to play the bad guy. But now they're not calling him a bad guy. They're calling him an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't have the villain be an anti-hero. The villain's got to be the bad guy. And that's kind of the essence of Captain Marvel / Shazam. Billy Batson is a 10-year-old kid that turns into a Superman-like figure. So he has to have this wonder. Having, like, the cool bad guy is just going to make him look stupid.
It's, I think they want to. It's a case that they want to have it cake and eat it too, because he. I know The Rock. They ever since they talk about doing this movie, they talk about The Rock being in it and want to either role. It's kind of like it's like he fit Black Adam. I don't know how you can make a movie and have The Rock play that role, and not have The Rock overshadow Shazam, and. Maybe you play him a straight up villain, you could do that. But if you're doing an anti-hero, like you said, like why would I root for this 12-year-old punk that's being, you know, I make a wish pretend to be Superman instead of The Rock. Like The Rock is The Rock. You know, like the only movie he's played like a straight villain was Doom. And that was a long time ago. And then, even then, he wasn't like a villain till like 2/3 through the movie.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yes. Most of the time people see The Rock as kind of like, you know, he's even when he's being, like, one of the things that helped him wrestle, like, even when his character was a dickhead, but he had so much charisma and was so likable, people liked him. Like, The Rock is Rock is naturally likable. You know, he just has that. And kind of, you know, smoothing out Black Adam, like, you know, we want him to be, I guess, grayish and not the pure, you know, let's make him an anti-hero. People like anti-heroes.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's a marketing grab. So even if, like, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam doesn't do well, but everyone's talking about how cool Black Adam is, you can just spin him off and make the money from that. So I thought that was kind of a disingenuous play right now. And I don't know who they're going to get to play Captain Marvel then, because I swear to God, they better not make him CGI.
I don't think you get away with that. I mean, you only do CGI when you have to. Like, if it's the Hulk, then you go CGI. But Captain Marvel's not built like that.
Well, Captain Marvel kind of got redefined by the Kingdom Come series. Have you read Kingdom Come?
No.
Okay. Well, basically, it's the future of DC, or a dystopian future, whatever. And the entire time, Mr. Mind is in Captain Marvel's ear, and he's just this blank slate, and everyone's trying to get through to him, Well, it turns out it's not Captain Marvel at all. It's actually Billy Batson, all grown up, that looks just like him. But he looks very... the whole time he looks very... not tormented. He looks tortured because he's tired of trying to live up to Superman, basically. But he looks blank the entire time. And even at the end, when he's taken Superman down, he still looks blank. He looks like the cartoon version, almost, come to life, because Alex Ross painted it. So it looks like, you know, a still life painting of Captain Marvel the entire time. So, and that's kind of the image I've always had burned into my head of what Shazam looks like now. Like, that became, you know, the definitive look for him. And that's what I'm wondering if that would be why they'd use CGI.
Could you really? Well, I mean, could you really do CGI for him and not do CGI for The Rock? Like, would he even fit? Because weren't they basically kind of? I mean, I'm more of a Marvel person. I know they're DC characters, but weren't they kind of like, you know, if not necessarily equal, like similar, like size wise and power wise?
They're supposed to be, yeah. But yeah, then so, it's basically, he's supposed to be the mirror image of him. Mirror image, yeah.
So I know, I guess the problem comes with casting. Like, The Rock is just so naturally big. Like, he's a big man. Like, who could you cast where he could match up, where it seems even? That could act.
Yeah, that's always a problem with these muscle-bound guys. And I don't know, The Rock, maybe they'll have Rock toned down a little bit so he's not so big, I guess. It's too late for Batista. He's a Marvel guy. He might have fit. I'm just trying to think of, like, athletes.
I mean, most of the guys that's, like, big that could act, Marvel already is signed. Like, I remember watching Guardians of the Galaxy and, like, watching Batista's podcast. Like, Chris Pratt's a big dude. And I never even thought about that until I saw Guardians of the Galaxy this past Saturday. My wife, I know, was like, he's a big, like, he's like 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, like, he's big. Like, he looks around the same size as Batista. Batista's not small. Like, most, and like, Chris Hemsworth is naturally big. You know, like, most of the actors that would do it already sound like big Marvel actors already. So,
yeah, I'm still in the back of my head.
Find some unknown, and, you know, you can only. Even if you get on a regimen, you only can gain so much weight, you know, and you still got to find somebody that kind of has that height and more importantly, has that presence. Because just getting just some big muscle guy that can't act, or, you know, just a blank slate, The Rock's going to blow him off the screen.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is the physical part. You've got to find somebody.
Yeah, it just fits. It's this whole DC's plan, like we talked about. It's just, I know what they're trying to do, but it's like, imagine if Marvel came out with Iron Man, and then the next movie they came out with was The Avengers. The Avengers 2. Like, if they had The Avengers with the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver had it. Like, you jumped from Iron Man to The Avengers. Like, how would that come off? That's almost how DC is doing it backwards. Like, you know, we want to put everybody in this one movie, and if it works, then we'll do spinoffs, and we'll put somebody here and somebody there, but we don't want any humor involved. And
okay, do you believe that? And I know we're getting away from the Shazam, but do you believe that?
You know what? I would say I hope not, but I've seen and heard dumb enough stuff that it's not surprising. And you saw how the Man of Steel, like, I think people missed the point. Christopher Nolan set up bad habits for a lot of people. It wasn't his fault. People kind of missed the point in that whole Dark Knight thing. They kind of see, oh, he was successful because it was dark and gritty and realistic. I'm like, no. It's because it fit with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that with everybody.
And no, you can't. Yeah, you can't make a Green Lantern. A Green Arrow, you kind of can. And with the success of Arrow, kind of shows, all right. But that still has a lot of levity to it.
Yeah.
The new Flash show looks like the Flash should look, based in reality, not dark and gritty. Good. They took Superman, which is supposed to be a story of wonder and hope, and just drove it into the ground.
Yeah, and Zack Snyder said that's what he was trying to do. Like, you know, I know people have this Superman looking at wonder and awe and being bigger than life, and I want to squash all of that and ground him and pathos. I'm like, why would you take? Yeah, what? Like, why? Because you know why? Because it worked for Batman and Christopher Nolan's around. That's why. And I actually like Man of Steel, but I understand a lot of complaints they made about it. It's kind of like, you know, Superman doesn't have to always be all serious all the time and his face, you know, all scrunched up. And then the more you hear about stuff now, it's kind of like, you know, okay, Superman versus Batman, that was a dream thing, fine. And I don't have, you know, I know people have a problem with Ben Affleck because they remember Daredevil a decade ago. Yeah. I don't know, things change, so what? Okay, so you want to add Wonder Woman? Okay. Now it's like, okay, now you want to add Martian Manhunter. And now you want to add Cyborg. And now you want to add Aquaman. And you want to add this and do this. And we're going to use this to set up the Justice League. It's like, you have a lot of stuff going on. And like, you know, okay, who's the villain's going to be? Lex Luthor. And then you got, you have all these pieces thrown in with barely any setup, just because people just assume, oh, people know who Batman is, and people know who Wonder Woman is, and we can fill in the rest, and we're going to do this movie as a prequel to the Justice League movie because it's going to work. And one, a lot of, you know, yeah, people know who Batman is, but they judge a Batman off Christian Bale Batman, not like a, who's Ben Affleck Batman? Oh, but we want to say he's been doing it for a while, and that'll be enough. It's kind of like, they're making a whole lot of assumptions. Like, they're putting, you know, they already got dinner ordered, and lunch hasn't arrived yet.
Now breakfast has barely even arrived yet.
So,
I mean, I don't know.
It's like they saw what Marvel did, and they're trying to skip steps, basically.
They're trying to hotshot everything, yeah. And I didn't mean to get into this, and we'll save a deeper conversation for next time, hopefully, as long as no one else says someone's stupid. But no, it's a clear panic because Marvel is destroying them when it comes to movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought DC did the right thing, because I've always thought superhero stuff, the smaller scale stuff, excuse me, worked better on TV anyways. So, Arrow has worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Flash looks like that could be a knockout. I don't know about Constantine.
I'm curious about Gotham.
So. Yeah, I'm curious about Gotham as well. Except they already made some giant mistakes in it, but whatever. That's just kind of the nerd part of me. they made giant mistakes, but I haven't watched the show yet, so there's that. But they're making a separate movie universe from the TV universe. They're going to have a different guy be the Flash in the movies. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's a perfect opportunity for synergy.
Yeah, I brought that up with you. I'm like, the reason why DC movies irk me so much is because the animated shows and TVs, they've done it almost perfectly. Like, you know, Flash and Arrow share the same universe. DC, like, you know, DC cartoons have been held as like the benchmark. Like, they've always had, and Marvel's had, it's not like Marvel's had bad cartoons, but DC has always been better. Like, they've shown how you do a shared universe, and it made sense. Here it's kind of like, I don't know if Zack Snyder's and Mike Shyamalan, like, you know, almost like he got lucky once and did okay the second time. And it's kind of like, you know, he's been skating by ever since, and, you know, like, Christopher Nolan held him up for the Superman movie. Now he's not, like, he's been doing his own thing. That's the thing. It's kind of like, there's no one voice that you trust to do that. Like, as much as people make fun of Marvel saying they all mercenary and everything like that, they have a plan, they stuck to the plan, and it's worked. Like, people tend to forget, like, you know, since they did the whole Marvel-Disney thing, probably the biggest actor name they got since the movie started was Terrence Howard and Samuel Jackson. Like, people forget, like, Terrence Howard either made as much or made more than Robert Downey Jr. the first Iron Man movie. Like, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't Robert Downey Jr. now. He was, you know, on the comeback trail. So And nobody knew who Chris Hemsworth was, you know, because I was like, oh, that guy was in Star Trek for 2 minutes. Chris Evans was that goofball that was in Fantastic Four. You know, Mark Ruffalo was a kind of, you know, indie actor. Like,
yeah,
they didn't like break the bank trying to hit names. They got people they thought fit the cast and got directors and gave them the ball. And then we got a plan and we're going to build to it. DC is kind of like, you know, they got spooked by Green Lantern. And then Man of Steel made money, but it didn't make as much as they wanted to be. So they got spooked again. We're going to throw Batman, Wonder Woman, and the Justice League.
Yeah.
All these movies. So.
Yeah, you got three people that people know. And then you're going to put Cyborg. No one really knows who that is. And that's just how it works. And then you're going to put Aquaman in when you haven't done anything to establish him. And that character's been beaten down so much. And unjustly, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. We'll save this more in-depth stuff for next time. We'll skip the goofy-ass sports shit. Sorry about that. It was still fun, so it didn't matter. Hey, I look up and the show's at 48 minutes. And I was like, oh, boy, did we just screw that one up.
So, I mean, it's just – I've been reading about that topic all day, and it's just mind-boggling.
Well, that's why you got to stop reading about it.
Yeah.
You know the facts.
I wasn't even on sports websites. I was on Facebook, and then I just ran to it, and it's like –
Outside of getting wasted, drunk Saturday watching the Michigan game and being on Facebook, that was the first legitimate post I had made since the beginning of August. You don't need to be on the thing.
Yeah,
we can get into that on another one too. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter yesterday with the Ray Rice, and we're gonna wrap it up after this. The Ray Rice stuff, Twitter will just suck you dry. Reading first on both, and it's really on both sides. You've got the self-righteous people who have never, and I'm not trying to quantify Ray Rice knocking his fiance out cold as a mistake. I'm sure it was a mistake. I mean, I guess. Well, no. I'm sorry, idiot. You start laughing as I take a breath, and you start laughing. I'm like, no, wait.
I just want to see how you touch.
No, what I meant by that was we don't know if he does abuse her repeatedly. Okay. Mm-hmm. He loses his mind, punches her. That honestly could have been the only time. I don't know. No one knows, or maybe people do, and that'll start coming out. But then. It's like that one mistake is caught on camera, that one mistake, you know. I don't know. It's way too late in the show to get into it, but it's like you've got people who act like they've never done wrong before.
Well,
destroying this guy, and destroying the NFL, and then you've got people on the other side who will take that exact same argument and go, "Oh, you never made a mistake before. He just, you know," and it's like, "Oh no."
It's probably like, you know, I'm more, and it may sound callous, I'm more irked at the NFL than at him. Like, you know, of course you say he shouldn't have did it. It happens. It's enough, you know, domestic violence is a serious thing, and it's a complicated issue.
Yeah.
It happens. He got to deal with the consequences. I'm not going to beat up on the girl because they got married because, like you said, that's just complicated. But what got me about, for a wrap up, was like, Roger Goodell is all high and mighty and like, you know, I got to keep these black people in line and I got to lay a letter of law. And you're trying to tell me with a straight face, we didn't see the tape and that's why we only gave him 2 games. Like, one, whoa, come on now. I'm like, one, you need to see this. Like, okay, you didn't know how she got laid out, but you saw her dragging ass out and it's not like she got stung by a wasp. So you knew something happened for her to get laid out. Second of all, this is the NFL. They can find out almost anything they want. Try to tell me TMZ and such from Deadspin know, but you don't know.
Yeah.
And then people were saying, you know, well, the NFL saw the tape, and that's why they gave him 2 games. If you saw what we saw, you understand why he got 2. And I'm not going to say how can he be that dumb because he's done plenty of arrogant things, but I'm like, you got to know that stuff comes out. in this day and age.
Yep.
It always does. And you, like you said, you gotta be on your ball game if you talk that type of trash. Because if it comes out, it's a lot of people that look real dumb.
And how bad is it though that with these sort of circumstances, you have to use the idea that, hey, this stuff's gonna come out. You need to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of somebody just going,
just do the
right. Get out of here. No. Yeah. We're not dumb. That must be the moral tinge in my head going, shut up, shithead. Because I'm choking on something now.
Yeah. Like somebody said on, it was somebody that said something smart on Twitter. It's like, the NFL didn't suspend them because they just saw the tape. They suspended them because we just saw the tape. It's like, as soon as people saw it, start saying, hey, he slugged it like, you know, Little Mac from Punch Out. Like, what in the hell's going on? Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, the tape changes things. And I know it's like when you see something.
Because you saw it?
It's different. I know, like, it's human nature. Like, why would it change something? Like, I mean, it's just human nature. When you hear about something, that's one thing. When you see it, it's different. But the fact of the matter is, if you know something happened that ended the fact that he was dragging out of a public elevator by the hair like Fred Flintstone. So, and if she didn't slip on, you know, her iPhone, something like something happened and all this, you know, well, what if she would have clocked the one and then got a lucky shot? I'm like, he's not dating Gina Carano. And if he was, so what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then he gets hit.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
No, it that whole thing. Yeah, okay. We got to go. I'm like, you know what? There's more to say on it. But really, if anyone still got to the end, like, these assholes are bringing up another domestic thing. It's like, shit, just stop it.
Yeah, I just want to hear about Ninja Turtles. What are you talking about?
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. All right, guys, so we're going to get out of here. Thanks for sticking around for this week. We'll somehow work in Ray Rice ruining the Justice League next week, too. So follow us on all social media, Stunt Granny. We watch stuff on iTunes. Also, I think the Stunt Granny audio pulls up. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter. You can go to the other shows and find it. So I'm going to get out of here. Everyone have a good weekend, and that's about it.
Yeah, for Jerry Mays, this is Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and this has been a special guest episode. No, we watch stuff. Remember, don't hit your girlfriend and watch out for fridges.